Hey, LifeBridge family and friends, hope all of you are doing well. We welcome you to LifeBridge Online. However it is that you are getting this, we are grateful for your participation. We pray throughout the week that what you watch and what you listen to will be a benefit, that it'll be a blessing to your life, and that you will draw closer to God, which is our vision as a church, as a congregation, is that we will bridge the gap between where we are now and where God is, that we're always moving toward Him. So we're praying that as you listen to this, that you watch this, that that is going to take place. We are in week three of what is becoming one of my favorite studies on prayer in a long time. We've done a lot of studies over the years, the how-to praise and the benefits of prayer, but this one is becoming one of my favorites, and personally, I'm benefiting from praying this prayer that David prayed. Now, prayer is the most dynamic source for help and growth on the planet. If you truly desire life change, man, you really want to mature in your faith, then prayer is critical. It's not going to happen without it. Prayer is a must if we are going to deepen and develop the relationship with God. If we're on a journey of becoming like Jesus, then prayer has to be an integral part of it. But here's the secret. Man, we have to pray for what God wants, not necessarily what I want. Because if we start praying for what Michael wants all the time and how Michael wants it and when Michael wants it, that doesn't lead to growth. That doesn't lead to maturity. That leads to my ego and my pride and my selfish desires continuing to blossom. So the secret to a healthy prayer life is praying what God wants and then submitting to the answers. And if we do that, change is going to happen. And so we talk about this prayer, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, this prayer that David prayed. Man, it's a risky prayer. Because if you pray it with sincerity and God starts to answer some things, change is going to happen. All right, let's read it together. Psalm 139, verses 23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now, we've been building on this each week, taking it phrase by phrase. Search me, know me, today, test me, lead me, right? Like we've been talking about that. And like most other prayers that David has prayed, he is asking God for something. But it's not how I usually pray. I don't know, maybe you pray this prayer often. I don't normally pray this. When I pray and ask God, I'm asking God for different things. We ask for healings a lot. Nothing wrong with asking for healings. We're told to ask for healings. We're told to be that part of the healing process. You know, one of my life groups that Amanda and I are in, and this has nothing to do with their age at all whatsoever. Man, right now there's a lot of prayer for healings going up in this one group that I have. Man, it seems like everybody, you know, the ones that are older than Amanda and I, seems that they all have something going on. And so we're praying for healings because we want God to be part of the healing process. We also pray for safety. Nothing wrong with that. Man, I pray safety over our faith family, over our church, on a weekly basis. If I know you're traveling out of town, if I know you're going to be on the road, if you're dealing with stuff, I pray for safety. We often ask for wisdom. Again, absolutely nothing wrong with asking for wisdom. As a matter of fact, some of you should probably pray a little bit harder here, right? I'm just kidding. I need to be praying a little bit harder here. I certainly need to become a wiser, more mature leader, and I certainly need some discernment to go along with that. And we often pray and ask God for blessing, both material and spiritual. So we pray and we ask God for a lot of things. But David's like, man, he's got some unique requests to God in this prayer. Search me, O Lord, and point out anything that offends you. Know me. Know my innermost thoughts. Know me better than I know myself, God. Lead me to everlasting. And today, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about these words, this phrase, test me. These two words need to be prayed with the attitude of be careful what you ask for. I mean, when you say, God, test me, look out. Something is going to happen. Things might be revealed to you. You might be facing some things when you say, test me. This request, these two words, test me, it reveals to you and I, as we study David and we study his prayer habits, it reveals to us the sincerity of David's prayer. God, I am so sincere about asking you to search me, to know me, that now I'm asking you to test me so that I will know where I stand in my relationship with you. That's how sincere David is in his prayer life right now. That, God, I want you to test me. So, God, it's not enough for me to simply know you and you know me. God, I want this relationship to thrive. So test me. Hey, when was the last time you ever said, God, test me? Never? Maybe rarely? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever said that exact phrase. But I believe that most Christians do pray a version of this throughout our faith journey. We sit in lessons, we sit in sermons, we listen to our favorite podcast, we watch our favorite minister on the big screen. And through the Word of God and these people, man, we're exposed to blind spots in our life. And we ask God, hey, Lord, hey, will you help me to do this? Will you allow me to become, I don't know, more gentle? You're right. Like I've shared this little journey of me trying to become more gentle in my parenting, dealing with people. I want to become more gentle. Or maybe we'll ask, hey, God, help me to be more patient. Be careful with that one. Or more merciful or more kind. So I think that we are more familiar with this part of David's prayer than maybe we realized at first. However, when we pray for the ability to be more patient or merciful or kind with others, how sincere are we when we're asking God for this? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, we pray for things all the time, but how sincere are we really when we're asking God to make these changes? And so when you read through the entire Psalm 139 passage, there's this sense that David is genuinely sincere when he is praying this prayer of search me, know me, test me, lead me. Like you can feel the emotion coming off the pages as David is praying this prayer and he's worshiping God through this. So when we pray for God to test me and we are sincere about this, look out, because things are about to happen. Right, I mean, we get the joke. We've heard it. Parents say all the time, hey, be careful, you know, when you pray for patience, because there is only one way for God to answer that prayer. But this is at the very heart of who David is in his relationship with God. As king of your people, Lord, I want to have the closest relationship to you I possibly can. And the only way this will happen is if I am tested. So church, my challenge to you this week is that you'll pray this prayer. Will you pray this prayer this week? Now, that's not a rhetorical question, and you don't have to answer it right now, or you don't have to shout it back at the TV, but will you pray a test me prayer this week? Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Will you pray this prayer with sincerity, knowing that God might reveal something to you, knowing that you may be tested so that you can mature in your relationship with God? As you consider this week, and hey, we're almost done. As you consider this week, I want to share two passages with you. The first is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." Now, this is the same concept in nature as being tested. Being tested is not enjoyable while you're going through the test. When I think back to school, I absolutely hated the test. There was always the pressure. Am I going to get it right? There was always the possibility of failing. And the author of Hebrews is saying that when you're going through the disciplines, when you're going through being tested, man, it's not enjoyable. But the reward will be peaceful harvest of right living. Let that sink in. As I'm being tested, the reward for passing these tests, these challenges, these uprisings that happen in our life, the reward of passing those will be peaceful harvest of right living. Now, here's the thing about praying, okay? This is not a one-time deal. I don't get to pray for patience, and my teenager tests me on that one time, and I demonstrate patience, and suddenly I'm considered a master of patience. That doesn't work that way. The testing is only going to get more and more arduous. As you develop, as you grow a little bit, it's going to get harder. It's going to get a little bit more difficult. The second passage I want to read is probably a little bit more familiar to you. It's James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James writes to the churches, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." The testing of my faith leads to perseverance. And perseverance, when fully developed, will lead to maturity and completion. Now, what James is writing here is all about us becoming like Jesus. That's the completion part of it. It's consistent with what Paul wrote to the Philippian church, that as you go through life, we will be complete when we are back in the presence of Jesus. This whole life is about us becoming more and more like Him. And James is like, hey, consider it joy when you're facing trials, when you're facing testings of different kind, because these are going to develop perseverance. These are going to help you in your maturation, in your growth. And so as you go through these, you're going to become more like Jesus. So when we pray, "Test me," and God does, it is all about our becoming like Jesus. It's a benefit to us. Most of us want to shy away from trials. We want to stay away from hard times and obstacles and the things that make us uncomfortable. But in God's economy, these are opportunities for growth and maturity and becoming like Him. So if I desire to become like Jesus, if I really want to do that in my life, then I must go through some testing. Church, I can't wait to see what God reveals and how you grow as you start praying a test me prayer. See you soon.